You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Just remember, Free for All Friday starts in the next hour here on Goldhawk Fights Back for You. You can say anything. You can bring up any topic. You put it on our table, and we'll talk about it. We'll give you that opportunity to set the agenda. Right now, though, for the next half hour, we're going to talk to Fiona Crean. Fiona Crean is the ombudsman in the City of Toronto, and she joins me in the studio today. Good morning, Fiona.
Hi, Dale. Good to see you.
Good to see you again as well. This latest report has caused a bit of a foo-farah down at City Hall, but let's go back and tell everyone, clarify exactly what the report was about. It's about the process used to find the people who will be populating the city's agencies, boards, and commissions. How many, roughly speaking, how many people is that?
Hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds,
The city has about 120 agencies, boards, and commissions. Things like the Toronto Parking Authority, the Zoo Board, Toronto Community Housing, a whole array of the public library. And so there's something called the public appointments policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of complaints from public and politicians. And the result of that was I looked into how the policy was administered.
The complaints were about how the people were picked? Is that essentially it?
Well, there were some of those. And that's a political decision. But the
In the final analysis, it has to be approved by council, right?
Absolutely.
All these appointments. Okay.
And that is nothing to do with the ombudsman.
Of course not.
But the complaints were about the administration of the policy,
mm-hmm.
that it may not have been transparent, that the issue of diversity, who made it into the shortlist, there were problems with alleged conflict of interest, and so on. So that's what precipitated me to do the investigation.
How do people, if people want to serve on one of these agencies, boards, or commissions, they let it be known that they're available?
Apply.
Essentially, they apply, don't
yep.
they, for
yep.
these jobs? Are these paying positions?
No. No.
None of them
are.
These are
volunteer.
These are all volunteer. Help make your city a better place by being part of one of these agencies, boards, or commissions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And let me tell you also, Dale, my investigation didn't look at who was selected or who wasn't. That was not the focus. Here's what the focus...
Well, the ombudsman wouldn't care about something like that,
none
right?
None of my business.
No, exactly.
That's
all right.
What my business was about was to look in... You see, the staff, the public service is responsible for administering the policy. So what their mm-hmm. job is they take all the applications in, they shortlist them, they put them in order, because we're talking about thousands of pieces of paper, that the Civic Appointments Committee, which is made up of counselors, then sift through. They decide, the politicians, who they're going to interview, and then they recommend names to city council.
Right, okay.
So that's the process. And what I found in the investigation was that the staff did the best they could. The policy, by the way, is an award-winning policy. It's recognized as a best practice in Canada. But there were problems. They were not able to follow the policy.
So that's the problem. Policy was good. Policy wasn't followed.
Yeah. I mean, there are some small improvements that need to be made to the policy. And by the way, the city clerk and city manager have agreed they're already implementing the recommendations.
Right.
There's no problem there. But what happened was the failure to adhere to the policy happened as a result of shortened time frames, which the mayor's office insisted take place. And what that then meant was staff were unable to do things like advanced diversity outreach, and they were sort of tripping over themselves, if you will, trying to make all this happen in time.
Was there such a rush? Is that part of your report, why there needed to be such a rush to make these rather important appointments?
Yeah, I certainly described what happened. I made no conclusions, of course, because those are political decisions.
For
normally,
sure.
What happens is when a new council, shortly after an election, one of the first things that the public service does is bring this item forward. And when the mayor was elected, he saw other priorities, and which was his prerogative,
mm-hmm.
decided not to look at this at the outset. And then several months went by, And then the mayor's office wanted the civic appointments dealt with quickly. And part of their rationale was that upon approval of the new budget, they wanted those citizen appointees to be held accountable for the budgets of the Toronto Library, et cetera, et cetera.
Fair enough, yeah.
And that was fine. That's political prerogative. The problem was that then staff were told they had to do something that normally takes a month within a week. And it was simply impossible to get it all done. And so the inevitable flaws happened as a result. So my report findings take issue with the fact that staff failed to do certain things, but I also said in the conclusions that they really did the best they could in the circumstance.
Yeah. Well, then what's to be learned from this?
What's to be learned, and I believe, and let's not forget, Dale, it was a source of lively debate at council last week, but the ultimate vote...
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. It took quite a while, didn't
it? Yeah, it did, but it was a 38-0 endorsement of the report and recommendations.
Unanimous vote of support.
Correct.
For the report.
Well, at least for the implementation of the
recommendations. At least for the implementation of the recommendations.
That's right.
Okay.
And so what that really means is small improvements to the policy, very easy. From my perspective, council needs to support and resource the staff to be able to properly implement the policy. And so my hope is that with these improvements, and I said this at council last week, there's no reason to suppose there will be any problems in the ensuing rounds.
Help us understand what the recommendations are, if it isn't too much inside baseball in terms of processes at City Hall.
Sure. Well, one of the things was that there is nowhere for staff to indicate to the committee when there's a conflict of interest, a known conflict of interest. And what I mean by that is... Member of the public applies to sit on a particular board, but he or she may have a conflict because they do business that is in conflict with that particular committee.
That might come before that board or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's really simple. That is literally the creation of a box to tick. Right?
Yes, it certainly is.
So that's in fact, I suspect that's already been done by staff.
So there was no box to tick is what you're saying.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
So it was left up to the politicians to discern whether or not there would be any conflicts of interest. Is that essentially it?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Which gets complicated. And the politicians the binders are enormous. I mean, they had a huge amount of work to get through on this.
Okay.
So we want to be able to help them make their decisions, at least the public servants. I also have recommended that the diversity outreach, and I want to talk about diversity in a minute, Dale, that this be a requirement as per the policy, but that the time be allowed for staff to properly do this. So, for example, in your local newspapers, they may only print once a month, right? Mm-hmm. So the cycle gets missed. And by diversity, people have rushed to what I mean by that. I mean diversity in the sense, for sure, of gender and race and age, but also geography, location, so that the whole of Toronto is seen and represented on these very important committees.
Well, that was part of the issue that was argued about. There was a line in the advertising that said that mentioned diversity, and it was ordered removed by the mayor's office.
Is that
an accurate depiction?
That's correct, and the staff refused to do that.
They said no.
They wouldn't.
So it went ahead.
It did.
All right.
It did. But the other important recommendation is that both the city clerk staff and the city manager staff are involved in this process. The city manager staff provide policy, governance, kind of assistance, and the city clerk does what the city clerk does, which is to process all the paper and organize things. And I've said, create one unit.
Too many fingers in the pot here, right?
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Let's have one locus with one person in charge. And they've agreed.
And they've agreed to that
as well. Absolutely. They're doing that.
In terms of things coming from the mayor's office, there was also an unsupported allegation from some that the mayor's office had issued a list of preferred candidates for the agencies, boards and commissions. What were you able to find out about that?
Well, there was a great deal of discussion about that bill at council last week, and the fact of the matter is...
Well, that's a sensitive political issue. I think you can understand that.
I do.
Yeah.
And
This is a bit of a minefield area for an ombudsman to get into, isn't it? I mean, I understand that your responsibility to look after that process, but it's a process that's really close to the political machinations at City Hall, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And but to be very clear,
yeah,
the investigation very clearly says some witnesses say there was a list,
yeah,
others say there was not, and I make no finding about it. And frankly, if there was a list or wasn't a list, it's not ombudsman jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have it certainly is politically sensitive.
But if a political list was inserted into the process used by civil servants, that would be of concern if the list existed and if there were evidence that it did. That would go into your area of operation, would it not?
Yes, it would. But there was no determination.
Yeah, so you don't know.
I didn't have any independent evidence at the time of the investigation.
So that was kind of the spark that started the firestorm at City Council. There you were, sitting at the for 5 hours it took to
get it was about 5.5 hours.
Five and a half hours, yeah. And you faced a lot. I thought you faced a lot of really unfair criticism as well, that you were dabbling in politics and people were, either supporting you tearfully or not supporting you and using some angry words. What was going through your mind in the middle of all of that? I saw some of it on Roger's TV. You look totally, as you always do, you're sitting there totally unflappable, answering everyone's questions and just carrying on with what you do as ombudsman. But surely you must have been thinking, holy mackerel, what's going on here?
I'm not going to tell you what I really was thinking. Dale, it was an important debate.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I was sorry that it was taken to a political level and polarized to the degree it was, because the fact of the matter is, from my perspective, the investigation was fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Was the policy transgressed or not? Yes, it was. What do we do to fix it?
That's just totally in your bailiwick. That's right.
Some of the questions I found, there was a lot of repetition. There was a great deal of discussion about assertions that I took hearsay evidence.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, my job isn't worth its, name on paper if I do hearsay evidence.
Hearsay, that's the role of journalists. That's not your job.
Well, and so I explained to counsel that not only was it direct evidence, physical and human beings being interviewed, but over 40 people were interviewed, and they were all interviewed under oath. They were subpoenaed.
Yeah.
So,
you don't reveal names and situations.
Never.
That's part of your private investigation. That's, in fact, the way your office is supposed to work, is it not?
The cornerstone of my office is confidentiality.
Yeah.
If people thought their names were on the front,
nobody
of
would
the
come
paper,
to you.
That's right. Exactly.
But you must know, and you must know when you first accepted this job and came to the City of Toronto to do this ombudsman work, that from time to time, and earlier in your earlier ombudsman work, from time to time, an ombudsman hits a political nerve. I think it's one of your job hazards, is it not? You hit that third rail once in a while, and
well, you don't go into this job for a popularity contest.
Well, no,
because you're not doing your job if that's what's going on.
If everybody likes you, there's something wrong, right? Fiona Crean is my guest, the ombudsman for the City of Toronto.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Fiona Crean is here, City of Toronto Ombudsman, looking fairly well, actually looking very well, despite the ordeal you went through. It's just not that many days ago, is it?
Last Thursday.
Week ago
today.
A week ago, week and a day. Okay. One of the accusations that seemed to be thrown your way was the fact somehow there was something improper about you on your ombudsman website posting news stories about various issues at City Hall. Don't ombudsman do that kind of thing anyway?
Oh, routinely across the country. It's one of the ways to let the public know what media are saying, good and bad.
Right.
And as somebody said at council last week, I don't write the headlines.
Yeah.
I think the concern was that somehow I was being biased. And the answer to that question, Dale, is very simple. I, as you know, I do my work completely impartially, have no interest in the outcome of a complaint except that people were treated fairly. But once I've done an investigation and the evidence is in, I certainly take a position. But I have no control over what the media says. And this is simply another set of information for residents to read and take what they will.
All right. You also ran into some flack about your budget in the ombudsman's office. Can you give us the latest on that as well?
Well, our budget, you know, the budget cycle is about this time of the year for everybody at the city. And we will be going before the budget committee in December. But the budget chief and committee this year have decided to do a line-by-line review of everybody's budget. And they're
In fact, Mike Del Grande was telling me that almost a year ago, that that's what they were
going to do.
So it's hardly a surprise they're
that's
doing
right.
that.
There's been some misunderstanding in the public, actually, through some of the media, that the accountability officers, of which I'm one, are somehow above this and will not do a line-by-line review. That's simply untrue, Dale.
Yeah.
What I have said is I'll do a line-by-line anytime, but I must do it in public, not in private. Because this is, I am independent. I report directly to City Council.
So that was the issue, doing it in private as opposed
That's
to
right.
doing it. You want to do it in public, they want to do it in private.
Yeah. So the result of that is that I'm at Budget Committee next Thursday doing a line by line on my budget in public.
Okay. After all of this, and after, in fact, you got what you thought the city needed in terms of the agencies, boards, and commissions, have you reached a bit of a detente, do you think, with a majority of city councilors? Certainly they all voted for the report. I guess what I'm saying is, what lies ahead since you had this big issue with this report? Do you go back to business as usual or what?
Just doing my day job.
Just doing it.
You know, there'll be another report at some point and we'll just keep going.
You're working on another one right now, aren't you?
Oh,
probably.
Sure.
Probably. You're always working on something.
We have a number of investigations on the go.
All right. Okay. Well, maybe renewed attention will be paid to your investigations from now on. But if that happened to be the case, I think you would see that as a good thing, would you not? Because an ombudsman operates out there in the public.
Absolutely.
That's what you do.
Yep. Yeah.
Here's John calling from Toronto. John, do you have a thought?
Full disclosure, I know Ms. Crean. We've spoken before. And I got to tell you, I think the world of her, although we disagree on many things. I just want to make one comment about the line in the advertising regarding diversity in the city of Toronto.
Okay.
With all due respect, and I found it problematic that it names groups who are especially invited to apply. And I would prefer to have the language be more inclusive, to say all are invited, all who qualify are welcome to apply. And that, of course, I agree entirely with Ms. Crean that the geography, anything like that, all who qualify are invited to apply. Dale, the wording of that would, if you're a straight identifying white male, in the advertising line that occurs, you would be especially not invited to apply very exclusively. You know,
you mean it would have to name me as a straight white, what did you say, straight white male?
Well, if you're identifying as a straight white male, you know,
yeah,
you would not be especially invited to apply.
Because I'm not diverse enough, is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I think in this day and age that might not be an issue. And certainly when we look at City Hall right now, I'm going to think that straight-identifying white males have got it pretty good at City Hall right now.
I would say, you look around, you tell me, yeah.
But
exactly.
I would like to see the language made a little more inclusive, so that, you know, if the best candidate happens to be a straight white male or happens to be anything else, that that's the person we get.
Or a gay black man, for that matter, whatever.
Exactly, or a woman, or whatever the situation.
Okay.
But I do find it, and I'll just leave it with you, that I find that the language to those especially invited to apply, that particular line is problematic for me.
Okay, thanks very much for that, John. To which you would say, Fiona Crean?
Good to hear from you, John. I would simply say this, that while I don't disagree with you, John, the reality is that the results of the vast majority of competitions in both the public and private sector do in fact result often with white, male, whatever those various attributes are. So I think the city's language, while I respect what you're saying, is simply saying to others who may have been left out, hey, and, we're encouraging you.
And who may have felt they would have been excluded unless it was particularly pointed out. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly in my experience as somebody who's been hiring people for 30 years, the best candidate has nothing to do with the color or gender sitting in front of me. It has to do with their skills, experience, and how they performed in a job interview.
Well, those are essentially the, well, of course, because what does the policy say about that in terms of picking the most skilled person for a particular agency?
Well, this has been the source of debate, you know, Dale, for 20 years with employment equity going way back and the former NDP government in the province and so on. But the legislation provincially and policy, not only in the city but elsewhere, in particular in unionized environments, says very clearly, all things being equal, you pick, it's a merit-based hiring. Now, the devil is in the detail of how you define merit.
Oh, yeah, the semantics creep into this everywhere, don't
they?
Well,
and the research is pretty clear that you're making decisions about the person who's walked in the door within 30 seconds.
If you listen to, if you read Malcolm Gladwell, that would be absolutely what you're doing, wouldn't
That's right.
it? Now, in terms of the agencies, boards, and commissions, they are responsible for, I know final decisions have to be made by council, but their recommendations, which are often accepted holus bolus by council, they're making recommendations, these volunteers, involving a lot of spending and a lot of responsibility in the city of Toronto. I guess that's what makes these appointments so important. Fair to say?
Absolutely. They represent. I'm
just. You're looking it up there. Okay.
I'm trying to look it up in my report. You know, the city is appointing close to 1,500 residents to these boards.
Wow.
They make up. I'm trying to find the budget figure. They make up an enormous amount of
budget. It was
a
huge percentage. I mean, I saw it in there somewhere as a percentage, and it was quite profound. Oh, you've got it. Okay.
33% of the city's combined annual operating and capital budget. So it's a huge amount, with the public transit and housing assets alone valued at almost $15 billion. And they employ 48% of City of Toronto staff, these ABCs. So they're very important.
And also, it's a way for somebody, a volunteer, to get involved in the process at City Hall. And I happen to know from the political side, in interviewing hundreds and hundreds of candidates when election time comes around, an awful lot of people have spent early times on one of these boards or commissions or agencies to get their feet wet into some part of the process at City Hall, giving them a bit of an education and maybe encouraging them to move on and get a more important job.
We couldn't run government at all levels of government without the incredible contributions of these volunteers.
How long do they serve for?
I think it depends on the board. Some of them are legislated by the province.
Uh-huh.
The answer varies. Might be 2 years, might be 4 years, I don't know.
They would be set terms, though.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily fit the term of the mayor or the councillors. Each one has its own.
Some of it is provincial regulation. Some of it permits reappointment. Others don't, and so on.
Do you think that your report will encourage people to step up and say, please consider me, or discourage? What do you think the bottom line is going to be here?
Oh, I really hope it encourages, and the more we are able, whether it's Ombudsman Office or the governing body, in this case City Council, is able to be transparent and open about its dealings, We need civic engagement. That's a personal opinion I have. That's not an ombudsman view. I mean, we need to be engaged, and I think a lot of people are switched off and discouraged these days.
Still getting a lot of inflow into the office?
Oh, no shortage of work.
There's never a shortage of work? And are you still having fun?
Not every day. But mostly, yeah.
It's mostly, yes, right?
It's a big challenge, Dale, and I think it's important work, and we need to continue doing what we're doing, I think.
Thanks very much for coming in and talking about it today. Fiona Crean.
Thanks, Dale.
Ombudsman for the City of Toronto.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.